Howdy. How you doing? I have a question. I always start that way, don't I? Yeah. Do you think I should hand out the questions before so you have a chance to think about it?
No.
No? Okay. So here's my question. Who here a specific sidebar, forgive me, Nick, dig in the tie, man. You've been talking about that for a long time. It's the first time I've seen it. It's really nice. Nice. Okay, back on task. Vulnerable. If somebody is vulnerable, what does that mean?
Sad.
It could be sad. Doesn't have to be sad, but wanna give it a shot? Okay, it's a tough word. It's a big word, right? Okay, vulnerable. Who wants to give it a shot?
Confused.
Go ahead. Hi, Maggie. Go ahead.
Angry?
No, not quite angry. Not confused. You guys are making really great guesses. It's a big word. All right, who wants to take a shot?
At risk.
At risk. What do you mean?
When you're vulnerable, you're at risk. Your guard's down.
Vulnerable, at risk, guard down, susceptible to a lot of things, right? So if you are at risk, in other words, something not so good could happen to you, we could call that vulnerable. Who do you think are the most vulnerable or at-risk people in our world today? That's another big question. Let me give you a hint. Who has to live with their parents until they're at least 18 years old?
Kids.
That's right. Good job. Do you think kids are vulnerable? Yeah, they have to be taken care of, right? Yeah, I think that's pretty good. All right, good deal. Thank you. Go about your business, whatever you're doing, because it looks pretty cool. Repeat after me. Jesus.
Jesus.
Jacqueline. Felipe. Jesus. Jacqueline. Felipe. Say their names one more time. Jesus. Jacqueline. Felipe. The other day, I was doing some errands, stupidly going to the grocery store at 5 o'clock on a Friday. I was loading my car when I hear somebody calling my name. And it was the woman who cuts my hair, Mildred. And she's shouting from Cost Cutters, Claire, where have you been? I haven't been able to see her in a while because our schedules didn't work. But the last time she had seen me, I had had some medical things. And so she was like, how are you? I was so afraid I haven't seen you. And I was touched by the fact that this woman whose paths I cross with, 6 to 8 weeks on a good year, remembered and asked me how I was. Now, Mildred is in her 60s and has been cutting hair for a very long time. Her husband is a retired veteran and had been 25, 30 years in the military. He is from El Salvador. He is undocumented, and he is at risk for being deported. So I said, Mildred, how are things going at home? She goes, well, we just spent $7,000 for a lawyer to tell us what we already knew. And now we're just in a holding pattern, hoping that nobody knocks at our door. She said, but my husband has a friend, also a vet, who got pulled over for a DUI. Now, he had his citizenship, also from El Salvador. And she said, within 24 hours, he was deported. One infraction, and he was gone. Jesus, Jacqueline, Felipe. Do you know who they are? They are the children who died at the border during December. There was a post during the Christmas season that said something to the extent of, "We cannot, as Christians, worship a Savior who was a refugee and still think that it's okay to put up a wall. We as Christians cannot worship a Savior who was a refugee and still think it's okay to put up a wall." Amen? We are a very socially focused congregation. And we are aware of the troubles that happen, yes? And so as a pastor, I have to say that I sit in a weird place from week to week. And you might not believe me on this, but there are times when I'm actually concerned about how my sermons will make you feel. Because during the Christmas season, during Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, you want to offer hope, right? You want to give something uplifting. And this particular reading is almost too hard to bear, isn't it? Like, there are times I can't stand preaching on the slaughter of the innocents, which is what that last part is called. It's so much nicer to preach on the wise individuals who came from the outskirts of humanity to demonstrate that they got it, that they understood the import of having this baby born and who he would be in the future of humanity. Right? They got it. Up and against that wackadoodle Herod, who was jealous and didn't want anything more than his own power, so much so that he was willing to massacre those babies that he thought would challenge his authority. Thank God we don't have anything like that these days. But the story's almost too hard to hear, isn't it? I don't want to preach on it, and I don't want to even read it. I just was going to reference it because I knew we would all go, And believe it or not, there are times when I just want to protect you and not have you hear something so hideous. Jesus, Jacqueline, Felipe. But our reality is that we cannot call ourselves Christians without holding up that juxtaposition between the amazing gift of the birth of this babe, the brilliance that those wise individuals would come from all over to pay him homage, and the recognition that others would lose their lives at the same time. We hear these stories every year, and we become immune to it in some capacity, don't we? Because they happened 2,000 years ago, technically, metaphorically, they happened all those years ago, and so because of that, we can distance ourselves to listening to that as a nice story. And we can sort of try to glean the meaning of what it meant then and what it means now. But the bottom line is, it is the same thing that is happening. We have the same thing happening on our borders, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our families, that happened all those years ago. You're going to get a picture. Just want you to hold it for a minute. If you came to this place expecting a tame story, you came to the wrong place. If you came for a story that does not threaten you, you came for a different story than the one we tell. If you came to hear of the coming of a God who only showed up so that you could have a nice day with your loved ones, then you came for a God whom we do not worship here. For even a regular baby is not a tame thing, and goodness that cannot threaten complacency and evil is not much good at all. And a God who would choose to give up power and invincibility to become an infant for you certainly didn't do it just so you could have dinner. But if you came because you think unwed teenage mothers are some of the strongest people in the world, if you came because you think that the kind of people who work third shift doing stuff you'd rather not might attract an angel's attention before you, snoring comfortably in your bedwood, if you came because you think there are wise men and women to be found among undocumented travelers from far lands, and that they might be able to show you God, if you came to hear a story of tyrants trembling while heaven comes to peasants, if you came because you believe that God loves the animals as much as the people and so made them the first witnesses to the saving of the world, if you came for a story of reversals that might end up upending you, if you came for a tale of adventure and bravery where strong and gentle people win and the powerful and violent go down to dust, where the rich lose their money but find their lives and the poor are raised up as kings, if you came to be reminded that God loves you too much to leave you unchanged, if you came to follow the light even as it blinds you, if you came for salvation and not safety, then, my friends, you are precisely in the right place. We are a place, we are a people who can look at the world around us and not cringe to the point of immobility. We are the people who can say, Jesus, Jacqueline, Felipe, and everyone else's name who is vulnerable and been marginalized, and stand up for them because they can no longer do it for themselves. We are a people that demonstrate the wisdom of the travelers who came to the stable. When we say, yes, that story's almost too difficult to hear, but let me hear it anyway. Because in hearing it, I know what it is I have to do. Because in hearing that story and understanding that we make ourselves vulnerable and in our own vulnerability become stronger because we understand what those on the margins must be experiencing. And therein lies every stinking piece of hope you can find. By being able to listen to the stories, to say the names out loud, to stand up in our vulnerability and our humility and say, I have work to do. I have a journey. I don't have a camel, but I got two good feet, two good hands, and a really big mouth. Don't say it. And I can use these gifts that are given to me to say the names that need to be said, to do the work that needs to be done, to show up at that place where the most vulnerable live and say, I'm bringing gifts to you so that together we can change the way things are. Where tyrants are not allowed to stay where they are. Where those who are marginalized will not be allowed to be beaten down anymore, not in my name. We have been given that gift when the babe was born. And so you are those wise individuals coming from miles, journeying for who knows what, in terrible conditions, because you know that something better awaits. And when you leave that place, when you have experienced the gift that was given, you can now leave and you can say, I'm going to tell it from every mountain, from every plain, from everywhere I am. I will stand up and I will say, Jesus, Jacqueline, Felipe. Let the people say, Amen.